So the next artist is somebody who is a poet who has great characters that are for real. And these are people who have done, rough things in life. And I had the pleasure of getting to know her characters because I sat at my recording machine and recorded her readings. And this is a true story. They were recorded on this machine that had worked for years. And we did the recordings. And then I finally gave Suzanne the CD with the recordings in order. And that machine never worked again. The characters got to it. Let's have a big hand for Suzanne Owens.
Yes, I feel very guilty that I don't have my CDs here. I should. That was about criminal women. But this book is about great actresses, famous, funky, and forgotten. And that's better. This particular poem is about Eleonora Duse. She was born in 1859 and died in 1924, and she broke all the boundaries of acting. Before she was on the stage, they had 8 gestures that you do when you're acting, like this or like that or whatever. You know, they were 8 gestures, you can imagine. And she broke that completely. There were no more gestures after Eleonora Duse and Sarah Bernhardt. So she revolutionized her art by searching for the truth in all her portrayals. When my body learns how to die, I sleep in the dark, take refuge on the roof, then pack my bags and move on. Short-lived lodgings, temporary schools, where welcome mocks, and scorn sends me shrinking to the back of the room. I am merely a strolling player, as hurt by derision as the slam of a door. Packing my bags, moving on from town to town, where the great pickers think I am a nobody. But I wear my pride and fine clothes. I know the casket is only a stage prop. The gilt is not gold, and candles are a luxury. While the workers remain in the vineyards, dropping grapes into wicker baskets, we load the wagons with paper scenery, drop our clothes into bags, and move on. When I am 4, my old aunt slaps me in order to make me cry. I escape off stage, howling, to hide in my grandfather's trunk while they laugh. Must I cry in order to make them laugh? Long before my grandfather Luigi became the toast of Venice, the darling of Padua, even he, after sweeping them away with his monologue, said, "Sometimes you have to cry in order to make them laugh. Pack your bags, we're moving on." Like Garibaldi's ragged band, we plod the dusty roads, playing out our roles and moving on. Unable to speak, I try to mouth my lines while backstage voices hiss, "Speak up, speak up. They can't hear you beyond the first row." But I'm trying to find some other, so I continue to posture and strut with the customary clockwork gestures, rattle off my words glibly, inaudible and shrill. All I know thus far, the other lives in the unknown. But I am only a marionette, thin, pale, plain, like a small animal ensnared for the takings my pelt can bring. I'm caught in adult failure and the teeth of the usual. And so my body learns how to die. My lips learn how to breathe their last, and poison draws them back to show my teeth. My tongue and voice learn how to snarl. My eyes learn how to roll back. My hair, black and heavy, learns how to drag my head down like an anchor. My hands learn how to clutch my throat, to stab my body. How to be stabbed. How to fall in silence as smoke falls, curls, drops, knees, hips, arms. How to sink in the throes of anger and the writhing of death. With no one to play the younger roles, like a greedy landowner, I annex one small part after another until the night I take that one step. This world, in exchange for the other. On its wings, my old uncle transformed into a young lover more beautiful than any god. The moment I stretch out my arms, take that step with no thought in it, I wake inside the world that holds knowledge beyond grape pickers, chimney pots, trains, and the smell of departures streaming across Lombardy. And so, in this smoking, acrid stench of naphtha lights and amphitheaters, I begin to experience something deeper, richer, stranger, brief moments of beauty and risk. I make the journey more and more. I stay longer and longer, forgetting myself in the quest for something I can't define. Calm, feline, and patient, I stay in the ambiguous dot, waiting for the small light of the implausible, while the conduit back becomes more difficult and harder to find. Why do you stand with your head bent that way and biting your lips? The audience can't hear you. They can't even see your face. Why don't you fall to your knees, fling your arms? At least you could pace a little. You must exaggerate to appear natural. This is art, not life. No, no. When I'm in a tumult, I don't do those things. I'm fighting inside myself. I have not yet discovered how to show what I feel. I don't want to act it. I want to be the tumult. My strength lies in my ugliness. I can be beautiful if I want to be. It's the best kind of beauty to have. I can put it on and take it off like a cape. I'll make up my soul, not my face. I will act with my whole self. I will let my body go so it can show what it really feels. So the fire and abandon is seen in my back, even if my back is turned to the audience. With Martino, the prince of lovemakers, I found a world of paradise on a small mattress, and learned the body, as well as the mind, has its own language. I know words are not the most important thing in this world.
Thank you, Suzanne. Suzanne is going to be doing a mini set here on November 8th. One more hand for